evening, folks, and welcome back to the Librarian Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. For my second show tonight, I have romance author Cindy Madsen. Cindy is a USA Today bestselling author of contemporary romance and young adult novels. She sits at her computer every chance she gets, plotting, revising, and falling in love with her characters. Sometimes it makes her a crazy person. Without it, she'd be even crazier. She has way too many shoes, but can always find a reason to buy a pretty new pair, especially if they're sparkly, colorful, or super tall. She loves music and dancing and wishes summer lasted all year long. She lives in Colorado, where summer is most definitely not all year long, with her husband and three children. You can visit Cindy at her website, which is linked right here on the website, and you can sign up for a newsletter to get all the update information on her books. And we also have links for following her on Twitter as well. So let's welcome Cindy to the show. Welcome.
Hello. So nice to be here.
It's so good to have you on. And I was telling you before the show that I've been stalking you for a while on Facebook. So I like this author. I'm super excited. Yay. So
I like
the
all
show.
My stalkers.
Yay.
Thank you.
I'm just a huge contemporary fan, and you and Mary Lindsay is a friend of mine. So you and Mary and Sarah Balance and, you know, the whole crew in there, I just love y'all's books. They're light, they're happy, they're easy to read. They get me away from the day's normal garbage, and I'm just become a junkie of contemporary romance. So thanks a lot.
It's a good thing to be a junkie for. I like to say that I try to make people laugh and swoon. That's like always my goal. And you know, life is serious enough, so I'd rather have something funny and light, and, you know, love.
Yeah. And that's why people, you know, romance is almost like a drug, reading romance, because, you know, you want more afterwards because you got the good feelings at the end, the happy feelings. And, you know, you don't want to go back to reality if you don't have to anytime soon. Not that my kids or my husband aren't great, but it's just, you know, I don't want to turn on the TV. I'd much rather pick up a book and get
gosh,
away from
the news.
All that.
Let's
awful.
Have the happy. And the laundry, I mean, who needs that?
It could do itself. That would be great.
Right.
That should be in some kind of fantasy novel. But anyway, laundry that folds itself and puts itself away. And how about the laundry that doesn't even get dirty? That would be even better. Hard to do.
That would be great.
Hard to do with a 5-year-old boy. But
yes,
anyway.
I have a 7-year-old boy.
There you go. I read a quote recently and it cracked me up. It says, what did it say? Boys are something with dirt on it. And I can't even remember it now. I thought I had it. But anyway, it was so true. It was,
I've seen that. Like a loud noise with dirt on it or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Like, exactly. Yeah, noise with dirt on it. Yep, that's exactly right. I never knew until I had the second one how dirty he could be. But yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you got into, were you always a writer? This is something you developed over time. How did you get to be an author?
Well, I always like to read a lot, and I always have had a hard time falling asleep. And so I would tell myself a story to kind of make myself fall asleep. And then the next day I would pick it back up wherever I had ended it until I finished that story. And I'd start a new one. I just never really thought of writing one down.
Yeah, and, that's neat, though.
Yeah, I actually went, Jodi Thomas came and talked at a conference once, and she said she did the same thing. And I thought, well, that's crazy. I didn't know anybody else did that. And even now, as I'm working on the next scene in my book, right when I can't sleep, I sit there and lay it out. The next morning, I'm like, oh, I know what happens. I saw it last night. But it was after I had my first baby, then I was home with this baby who was crying a lot, and I didn't know what to do with her. And I would read, I was watching a lot of daytime television. I was like, this is really depressing. So I read some and I thought, you know, I've always had these ideas. I wonder what would happen if I just wrote them down. And so I got on my computer in nap times and anytime I could sneak in, and just that's how I wrote my first book. And then from then, like you said, it's addicting. I was hooked.
Yeah, it really is. Well, I mean, reading it is addicting, but writing is even, it's I don't know. It's like it's cathartic. You're cleansing yourself of stuff that's inside you and piling up inside you, and you know, to write and then see what you've created is very cool. But
yeah.
But I bet going to the next step of letting somebody else reading it was probably the harder part.
Yeah, it was a little hard, and I'll admit there were a lot of years of rejection before I got, like, I kept getting closer and almost, and you know, I'd have my little, like, I don't know if I can keep doing this, but I'll write this book because it's a great idea. Maybe it'll just be for me. But then I'd get done with the book and I was like, oh, I think this one might be the one. So I'd send it out there. And, you know, I went through that process for several years until I got my first book contract.
And did you have a big party? Because that would be
yeah.
so awesome. To just,
well, it was funny.
So finally.
Finally. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many, I always joke about this one time when I was querying a lot, Pink's Rocks So What I'm Still a Rock Star was on, and I'd play it after I got a rejection, and I'd be like singing it, like, So What?
So What?
And then, like, by the fourth or fifth one, I was like, So What? I'm a rock star. But that, like, helped me, kind of.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I went from that to, I actually got two contracts within a week of each other, just one right after the other for two different books. And so it was kind of crazy because it was like, no, here's two contracts, go.
Wow.
And so
wow.
We had
a
big celebration. And
yeah,
it was a very exciting time in our house.
So how do you find the time to write with three children?
It's a little bit easier now that my baby is now 7 and my oldest 13,
oh, well,
and then I have a 10-year-old. And yeah, they kind of, you know, they kind of trained with mommies, you know, working, you know, so they'd kind of go and play. When they were all together, the hardest was like when they'd go to school, when just my little guy was here, because he'd always be like, I'm a bird without the sisters. Where's my sisters? And,
right.
And so I'd always joke about, like, he would make paper airplanes and he would, like, throw them at me and I'd keep typing and I'd throw it back and type and throw it till he threw it again. So those were kind of the crazy days when he was a toddler. But I don't know. I just would fit it in when I could. And then when they'd go to bed, I'd usually do some extra hours.
Yeah. Now, it's like it's a sacrifice if it's something you love. So.
Yeah,
sleep doesn't matter.
These ideas, and yeah, I'd just be up till 1 or 2 in the morning writing, and then dragging the next morning. I'm not very much of a morning person anyway, and so school and like early times goes against my nature. But we
yeah,
do our
me
best
too.
In the school time. Yeah, even my kids are like that too. First week of school, they're all like zombies. It's horrible, but. But now the nice thing is once they're all in school, then now I had to switch from kind of that night to like days because I want to be able to spend time with them when they're here. So that took me a few weeks to like kind of retrain myself to be awake enough for that. But yeah, now I can do it pretty much full time.
Yeah, you're able to be more productive now during the day. So that's
right.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure your family is glad to see you.
Yes, and I try to take weekends off, but once in a while when a book, I tend to, everything piles up at once, but
oh, yeah.
I'm trying to be better about the days off.
Deadlines are killers, though. They sneak up on you real fast, so that's
yeah,
what
they do.
I've heard that. I've got that advice from several authors who say, if you can't deal with deadlines, don't even bother. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, thanks for telling me ahead of time.
Well, I like to say, like, I break it up. I have daily word count goals, and if I'm editing, then I have daily, like, page count goals, because I think, you know, they say that whole saying about how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time. Like, if I think, oh, my gosh, I have to have a whole book done by this date, I'll freak out. But if I think, oh, that's, you know, 3,000, 4,000 words a day, then it's like, oh, I could do that. So
yeah, it's more manageable.
That makes it
manageable. I like that
for me.
Saying. I don't think I've ever heard that before. I like that.
Oh, you haven't heard that
thing? No, that's a good one.
I don't know why that's you would eat an elephant, but that's how they say you do it, one bite at a time.
Yeah, you definitely wouldn't want to swallow it whole.
no.
So you decided to write. You sat down, you wrote, and was it always romance? Did you write other things at first?
You know, it always was romance. I did, even the young adult novels I have a romantic thread in them. Mm-hmm. I found when I was going to the library and getting books, I found if there wasn't a romance in the book, I lost interest.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And it took me a while to realize that that's what it was. But, you know, and so, yeah, it was always romance from the start, which is funny because, you know, when everyone was reading Sweet Valley High books in high school, I was reading serial killer novels and, like, hiding those from my mom because I knew she thought they were too violent. And so now sometimes I joke that if there's not a lot of killing or kissing, I'm out. But I need a lot of killing or a lot of kissing in my books to keep entertained.
And if you have
I don't know what that says
awesome.
About me. But, yeah, once in a while I still like a good mystery, but I still like it better if there's also the romance that's involved.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, I agree with that. And then if you throw in some humor, then you've like got it all covered.
Right.
That's why I was like Castle. Yeah, where they, you know, there's humor and the dialogue was always humorous, and but the things were serious, and but there's always that
romance. I'm gonna have to watch that one. I've seen like a little bit of one episode, but we cut our cable a while ago. So I keep waiting for it to come on Netflix so I can like binge it.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely one to binge because it was good. It was very good.
And that's like Netflix is perfect for writing because you get done with a deadline and then you're like, oh, I can watch a whole season of this show now.
I don't know. I've been trying to catch up on Once Upon a Time for the last, 4 months. I have to watch it with my husband because I got ahead and he got really angry with me. So
we're trying to the new season just came on that.
Oh, yeah. See, I did it.
And we're
did
trying
it.
To get it, too, because my daughters will watch it with me.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. I mean, some
where,
of it's
like,
cheesy.
I find that Hook is, like, universal. Like, my daughter and I are always like, I'm like, that boy's cute. And she's like, no. And I'm like, well, that guy, you know. And but when it comes to Hook, that is the one we all agree on.
Yeah.
He's universally loved.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he's my new favorite. Yeah, Paul Walker was my favorite actor. But yeah, I think Colin O'Donoghue has got to be a new favorite because he is just,
yeah, he's nice to look at.
Yeah, easy on the eyes and the his dialect or his what am I trying to say,
the accent,
his accent, yes, thank you, just escaped me. His accent is just beautiful and yeah, he's beautiful and he always has chest thing open and yeah, he's beautiful. So,
I agree.
So yeah, I agree with the binging. Yeah, it's nice to have the free time to do that. So, do you get you do mostly contemporary? I know your young adult had a bit of a paranormal or fantasy type element to it.
Yeah. I have a few that, like, one's kind of a mystery with a little bit, and then I have a few paranormals and urban fantasies. I even have a few urban fantasy YAs on my computer just waiting for what urban fantasy to get in. But when it comes
come
to
back in.
Reason, yeah. Like, come on. Don't you want to come back in?
Yeah. Oh, well, everything cycles. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Cause I started as a librarian back in 2007, and it's amazing how many things have come and gone. In the young adult market. I was a young adult librarian. They've come and gone and now coming back around. And it's like, okay, whatever. Just give up.
Yeah, it's always a big cycle. But usually when it comes to adult, I've only really written contemporary.
Now, you've written some contemporary that's a little steamier than the others.
My new adult series, The College Age Hockey Players, are much steamier than my other books.
Yeah. And it was that fun to have a little more freedom to put a little more on the page.
Yes. And I'll say that, like, when I first had the idea for the first book, for Getting Lucky Number 7, I told my best friend, like, here's my idea, but you know I'd have to show, like, everything. And she was like, you know I'm going to tell you to do it. And I'm like, yes, that's why I messaged you. But then I also like made this deal with my mom that she could not read them, because then it was like a total freedom. Like I knew it, that she wouldn't be reading them. So it's kind of a freeing, like,
judging you.
I know my mom will be like telling me how many swear words and oh my goodness. And I love her, but she's like, yeah, she's a little bit, she likes the more sweet reads. So
yeah. Yeah.
We're just,
well, she wrote some, like, of those for her.
Yes. I'm like, the other ones do not exist as far as you're concerned. Let's never speak of it again.
And then there's, when you write young adult, it's a little bit different, but you have, a different kind of freedom to not be so, fitting all that. You got to fit different kind of molds that with the different generation and everything. It's a lot different. And a lot of adults read young adult for the reason of, well, of course, we don't want to let go of our youth, but.
Right.
But that the characters
that, like,
are. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, I think that's part of it is that, like, first love still. There's, like, something about that first love, and that's what really a lot of YA is.
Yeah,
that's
first
love,
and being rejected and all those things at the beginning that are suck so bad.
Right.
You got to write about them. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I loved being a young adult. I loved handing a book to a kid and them coming back and, you know, saying how much they enjoyed it, because it always made, to make that connection for somebody who maybe wasn't such a great reader is an awesome thing. So when you can put into a story something that a 13, 15 year old can identify with and enjoy on that level and actually finish it, which is the whole other thing, then it's pretty amazing. I know. I mean, being a librarian, my daughter, she doesn't read as much as I would like her to. I would like her to be an avid reader like me, but she doesn't really get it that much. She was more into anime and manga. And do your kids read?
My oldest, she's 13, and she's just starting to read a lot of the young adult novels. But she's funny because she'll get, like, obsessed with a book, and she'll get, like, two-thirds the way through, and then she'll see another book, and she'll get obsessed with it. And when, like, you have all these endings unread. Like, how can you do that?
Gosh.
Like, I'm bothered by the lack of closure. But
yeah, that would bother me.
I'm like, but did you read this book first? And she's like, well, but this one was due at the library, so I started reading it. And I was like, well, why did you pick it up in the first place? And you're in the middle of that. But you were like, but she was changing her screen to that kind of stuff. So I'm like, I know she likes it. I don't know. So she's funny like that. So she reads, but it's like kind of in spurts and here and there. And then, I mean, she plays an instrument too. So she's got a lot of practicing and stuff to do. So she doesn't get quite the time periods to read like she wants to. But
yeah. Well,
and then my middle daughter, she actually writes My Little Pony fan fiction is basically what it is.
Oh,
she fills like journals with My Little Pony fan fiction. Yeah.
That is
adorable. Yeah.
It's a little you. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's got all these books. She came to me and said, I need another one. I finished that one.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really great.
Yeah,
you've got a lifelong reader there. That's very cool. So today, no, Mommy's a romance, quote, romance writer, author. Yeah. Okay, I just wondered, because that's just, some people are like, no, they don't know what I write.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. They know. They know there's books that they can't read, and they know that I'm a writer, and they know that when we have a release day, we get to go out to eat somewhere with soda, and then we still get dessert, so that's, like, really exciting for them.
Oh,
but
that's awesome.
Yeah, they're
that's
like,
a big party.
It's the release date. Yeah, because they want to. I've just learned, like, at first I wasn't doing it. I mean, I did it for my first, but then one went by and I didn't do anything. And I don't know. It felt kind of like a sad thing, even though I've released a book. So I always tell all authors and all, you know, and what I tell my friends and stuff, I'm like, just go party. Like you're just a blockbuster right now. Like you're number one on the charts. Just go celebrate because you did something huge. And sometimes it's easy to start looking at all the ranks and what's going on and the reviews, and you start like just getting bogged down, and I'm like, and you forget that you did something really cool. So I always say, go out and celebrate, like just rock it.
That's a really good attitude to have. And I mean, yeah, it keeps it fresh and, you know, I can understand that people could get, there are a lot of romance books on the market, but there are also
right.
a ton of readers, and we are very eager to get our hands on any and all books we can. So there's never enough books. So I just think that, you know, it'd be easy to get caught up in the competition factor of it, but yeah, celebrate it. You did something great and people read it, and I'm sure you get feedback from your stalkers that tell you, you know, how much they enjoy your books. So that's, you
yeah.
know, celebrate the little things, and that's awesome.
And it's always nice to get reader messages for people that they love, or like they really want this person's, you know, when they email and they're like, you better be writing this person's story. Like, I always love those two.
<That's>
like, I need to know what happens. I'm like, okay. Sometimes I'm like, oh, well, we'll see.
Nothing.
But almost usually I have like certain ones set up and they kind of catch on. So that's always fun.
So your bio says that you love music and dancing. How big a role does music play in your writing process?
Oh, I have, like, every book has a playlist. I actually even have them on my website, the books, the playlist that I listen to as I write the books. Like,
uh-huh.
I can't write without my playlists. And each one kind of has, some of it is, like, the mood of the book and ones that really
uh-huh.
go with the book. And then some of it is a little bit of just what's in right then that I'm listening to keep
uh-huh.
me going. But, yeah, it's a huge influence. And when I hear a song, I go, oh, that would be perfect for this book. Or, oh, this is perfect for what I'm drafting. Or, oh, I want to create that feeling in my book. Let me find, you know, let me play this and get inspired. So
that's awesome.
It's a huge part, yeah.
I love playlists.
And the playlists are massive.
Yeah, I love it because, I mean, you know, as a reader, you're forming these pictures and scenes in your mind, and then if you listen to the playlist, you know, you kind of get maybe a more in-depth picture of what the author's kind of mood, the mood of it all and stuff. So I love
mm-hmm.
playlists. I think they're actually even more important. I wish more authors did it because I think they're more effective for that than even a trailer or teasers
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
music touches a different part of us than reading. It's a different part of your brain and a different part of your soul, you know, and music is so, it's just so cool. And I love that you do that on your website because it's just super neat for readers. And, you know, I know a lot of people say that they have to be in quiet and they can't have anything going on around them or it has to be music
right.
with no words, but yeah, no, I'm the same way.
I know
I have
some
to
people
have it
like
blasting.
That. I feel like I'm in timeout if it's quiet.
Like,
you've been bad. You don't get any music. I have to be careful with, I don't listen to audiobooks often just because I push it to the background because that's, I'm so used to it. And then I go, what's happening? I don't know. And so that's kind of what I do with my music. And then when I have the playlist for the songs, and then there's like those certain songs that you have to like stop and sing at the top of your lungs and dance.
Oh, absolutely.
Good for me because I'm sitting at my computer all day and I kind of need that reminder to like, oh, get up, dance, move around, or you won't be able to move tomorrow. So, yeah.
And now your kids aren't home during the day, so you can
right,
sing at the top
right.
of your lungs if you want.
But
yeah.
even then, like, and even once in a while when I was writing out on the couch and I'd have my noise-canceling headphones on and I'd start singing and my husband would be playing PlayStation and he'd look at me and I was like, it's part of the process. Don't mess with the process. So, yeah. But I'm not we're a family. I'm not embarrassed by dancing. We're a family. Like when I cook, I get bored cooking. So I always have music going and I make my kids dance with me while we bake and cook. So it's crazy times at our house.
Oh.
I sometimes wonder if our neighbors are like, oh, those crazy people are doing whatever again.
Well, then they just need to get on board. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to get on board. I know my neighbors here, and even back when me and the kids were living with my mom, can hear my daughter, who is she doesn't just sing, she belts everything at the top of her lungs. She's good, but, you know, it's very loud. So her shower times are for the neighborhood, not just for us, because you can hear her everywhere. And yeah, I'm sure there's been plenty of complaints, but not to me. So
keeps it more lively.
Yes, yes. So we're about halfway through the show, and I want to put the phone number out so that if anybody wants to call in, they can call and ask questions or just say hi, or as long as they're not rude, they can say whatever. It's 347-633-9609 if you'd like to call in and talk to Cindy. And I want to read, we talked about this before the show too, that I wanted to read the little synopsis. It's a little blurb from your upcoming release, because I thought it was a really original, cute way to promote a book, or to put a, you know, give information about a book. And it fits, because it fits the title, but it also, it gets the message across without saying, this guy and this girl did this and this and this. You know, I love it. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to take a second and read it, and then we'll talk about
it. Oh, I don't. Go for it.
Okay. The book is titled 12 Steps to Finding Mr. Right, and it says, composed by dating coach extraordinaire Savannah Gamble. Number one, admit to being powerless over your attraction to the wrong type of guy. And she puts, like Lincoln Wells, who broke your heart after an unforgettable one-night stand. And that one right there is the truth. Yeah. Number two, believe Mr. Right is out there. And believe me, girls, he's out there, because I went through a lot of crap to get mine. So that's just my personal opinion added on to there. Number three, take inventory of past mistakes. See step number one. Clever. Number four, make a list of qualities you want in a man. Avoid, and this is in parentheses, avoid charming baseball players. Reason you made these rules in the first place. Number five, take charge of your own life. Number six, learn to love yourself. Number seven, sort the hookup guys from the relationship guys. Parentheses, avoid a painful brush off after an amazing night together. Number eight, never ever settle. Parentheses again, even if the chemistry is off the charts. Number nine, don't believe you can change a guy. Parentheses, once a commitment phobe, always a commitment phobe. Ain't that right, sister? Number 10, communicate your needs. Number 11, open your heart and love fully. And it says, still working on this one. And number 12, don't ever, ever stray from the steps. And I love it. I love it. I think it's so cute. Number one, I have to say number one for me, they're all right. But yeah. So tell us a little bit about, this is coming out from Entangled Select Contemporary. 12 Steps to Mr. Right on Monday.
Yes.
This upcoming Monday. Okay. Tell us a little bit about Savannah and her story.
Okay. Well, and first, I just have to give a shout out to my editor, who is the one who wrote the back cover copy. I have the 12 steps, and she had this idea, and I was like, perfect. So
that was so awesome,
Abrams.
Very clever, Stacey. Awesome.
Yeah, I get to work with some great people. It's just I've kind of called it the female hitch. Only, you know, she's a dating coach. Only if the girl that messed him up in the first place came back into the picture, wanted a second chance. That's a little bit what's going on. She's a dating coach, and basically after this one-night stand with a guy who was one of her closest friends, who she always had a crush on in college, and then they have this one-night stand, and it just then didn't, nothing happened. It wasn't the like thing that she thought would be them finally coming together, and it kind of crushed her. And so she kind of, and through some experiences where she saw other girls get crushed, she started making some observations and noticing red flags about guys, and really finding out how to like sort the guys that wanted to commit from the guys who are just there for a temporary good time. And so she's made her life, her career out of teaching women this, and she teaches it in a workshop, and they have field trips where they go on dates to like bars, and when the guys are hitting on him, she'll like stop and be like, did you guys see what wrong move he made here? And the guys are kind of like, what is going on right now? Like, is this girl for real? So it's kind of funny, because she does go a little bit above and beyond to help her people sometimes, to where you're like wondering about sanity, but her heart is in the right place. She just wants them all to find the guys that will treat them right.
Uh-huh.
And then he,
that
you know, he's
really cute.
Yeah, he's been playing minor league in a different state, and he's a pitcher, and he threw out his elbow and had surgery and just kind of had a hard time getting back into it. So he's come back to Atlanta to kind of start over, and he says he wanted to come back to the place, the last place where he felt like things were going the way he wanted them to in their life, and where people that he cared about were. So he wants to be friends again. And she's like, this is a very bad idea, bad idea. But okay. So
it's against her steps, but she does it anyway.
Right. It's against her steps. And the more time they start to spend together, the more she's like breaking every single rule she has.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
It's fun.
Yeah, that sounds really fun. So this is a select contemporary, basically a standalone.
Yeah.
Not part of a series. Okay. And select contemporaries are not on the super duper heavy, steamy side.
Right.
Okay.
They can kind of range. Just, this one's on the sweeter, like fade to black, like
okay.
side of things. So I'm sure my
okay.
mom will still think it's too steamy, but.
Asking for a friend. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about, like, if people have read my other books in this, the other select books, like Cinderella Screw Me Over and Ready to Wed, it's about the same level, maybe just a little bit more heat, but around that.
And I can't get over I love the twist on it being the girl who's helping girls out with their dating, because you don't usually see women presented in the bigger scope of things in that manner. Mostly it's men, you know, they're like, dude, no, dude, yes, or whatever. So like, you know, don't do this, don't do that.
Yeah.
So
I
like the take charge kind of attitude of a female, but then breaking your own rules for love is great too. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And I like the clients she helps and stuff. It's fun.
And so are there other successful love stories that come out of her work?
Yeah, for sure. You see someone that she's helped. You see the girl that, like, the girl that's kind of starting the process, who's kind of a hot mess at dating and just super awkward. And she's, you know, through the book, helps her kind of start being successful at dating. So you see a few different stories play out of other couples as well.
Oh, neat. That sounds like a really good story. I'm excited and can't wait to read that one. Do you have other things planned with your series that you have, the several series that you have?
Yeah, I have. In fact, this one, it's can be read standalone, but I kind of set up, there's kind of a thing between her best friend and her brother where you get that there's kind of a weird past or something. They kind of have like a attraction, love, hate thing going on. And so anyway, there will be, it's called like 13 ways to avoid a broken heart, and then in parentheses, and other love borne illnesses. And so that one will come out next year or so when I write it. So I have that one, you know, when I do that one. And then I have the third and the fourth book in my hockey series. The third book comes out in November, and then the fourth one, I hope early in the year, like February or so, hopefully we can get through all the hockey boys.
Yeah.
My new adult steamier ones. And then I also have a young adult novel coming out in summer-ish or early spring, I guess. So yeah, I have got a lot of madness going on.
Is it tied to your other young adults, or is it this something new?
No, this one's a new one. It's called the Crush Line for Entangled, and it's tropey, the category for teens. And my editor, Stacey, she's been my editor, and she's started that line. She works on it a lot, so she's been like nudging me for a while, like, you know, you want to write one. And I'm like, I do. And so finally, I had an idea, and I had an extra couple of weeks where I didn't have a book coming back to me quite yet, so I just hurried up and I wrote a really fun one that was just a blast.
Awesome. Well, that sounds
yeah.
fun.
Yeah, it was really fun.
I love young adult romances for the simple reason that I get taken back so quickly to high school, and then 27 years after I dated a boy in high school, I'm 27 years later after both of us were divorced, we got married. So it's like we're in
Aww.
High school all the time. So that's why I have a special affinity for them.
Oh, that's like the cutest story ever. I love it.
I know. It's like we act like we're in high school all the time, even though we're parents and have to, you know, be responsible and all that.
That's
garbage.
The best. But, like at one point, yeah, my husband at one point, like he said something and I was like, huh, what? And he's like, are we supposed to get mad about this? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, we're the parents. We're supposed to make rules and stuff. And I was like, oh, is that what we're doing? Oh, sure. Yeah. Bad.
I forgot.
Yeah. We joke about that.
Yeah, it's hard to remember sometimes. Oh, yeah. Especially if your kids are really cute and do something that's awful and funny at the same time. And, you know, it's really hard to think. Like,
and our kids
you gotta
are,
be mad about
they're
that.
Pretty melly and mellow. Melly. They're pretty mellow Belly. And funny and... And yeah, I mean, it's mostly, luckily we just have to run a little interference occasionally.
But you could come over to my house if you want to do some work.
Mine's
a little busier than that.
Well, some days, today was like the day that since I had a phone call, then there's tragedy trying to do the dishes and drawers falling off, and I'm not exactly sure what happened, but we'll get the full story later.
Update at 10, folks.
Yes. Survivors, cabinet survived the dishes, 3.
So when you started writing, did you just do it solo, or did you eventually join a writer's group or find a partner to work with, or you just a solo?
When I first started, I didn't even know there were like these fabulous writing groups out there. I just was writing, and I'd have my husband sometimes read it and tell me what he thought. And I had my best friend from high school. She's still my best friend. And I'd have her read it and tell me what she thought occasionally. And I just got to this point where I thought I'm as good as I can get by myself and with the people I know, and, you know, reading everything online. And we had just moved to Colorado. Like, I'm originally from here. And then I lived in California for several years after I got married. And then we moved back, and I just went online one day, and I was just looking for something, and I looked up writers in Colorado Springs, and there's this great organization called Pikes Peak Writers. And they had an event like that weekend, and I bought the last ticket to it. And I was going to sit at a table alone, and I told myself, nope, like, put yourself out there, which is kind of hard for me. And I sat next to a girl who looked like she'd be nice, and she and a few other people sat with us, and we formed a critique group, and she's still one of my closest friends. It just like we just found each other, and the organization is great and has a great conference. And that was when I feel like my writing went from like that. It just grew in leaps and bounds, just having people who write for a living looking at your stuff and having that feedback. It was really hard at first, but it made me a lot better of a writer.
Well, yeah,
we
have
great things like Romance Writers of America and those kinds of organizations as well. Yeah.
Yeah, RWA does a lot for people, but really, I mean, I think that finding other writers who, you know, walk the walk just like you, can identify with you and have a better perspective of, you know, because you write, when you look at somebody else's work, you have a different angle at it than, you know, somebody else.
Right,
who
and that
doesn't make me
first...
a reader. But.
There was this one published author, and then by, you know, through the years and the rejections that we cried over together, then, you know, all of us have books out now. And so it's been really great to kind of, you know, and I trust them, and they also care about me as a person. So we, you know, we've shared life and stories, and, you know, they're still, in fact, this book is actually dedicated, I call them my critters, my critique group. because, you know, they're the ones who kind of really, when I was writing this, were like, yes, keep going. You know, this is great. So, yeah.
And that's an awesome support system to have, too, because not yeah. only are they readers, they're fans, and they're looking out for, you know, for you to produce the best story. So they're the ones you get to be the guinea pigs.
Right, right.
And they enjoy it.
They get a read. And they push me, and they'll be like, well, this isn't, you know, one of them will say, you need to Madsen this up a little. Like, I expect funny. I'm like, every time, every word? Yeah, okay. You know, so it's good that they know when, like, oh, you kind of called it in on this time. And we know each other that well now that we can say, well, this, you know, or that. And it's great. I highly recommend critique groups that you trust who also want you to succeed. Like, those are
yeah.
the two big things.
And like you said, it's nice to watch everybody kind of develop their craft together and watch how you all learn to succeed together. So it's pretty cool. Do you go to the big conferences? Any of them?
I went to RWA for the first time last year. So that was the first time, but I almost always go to Romantic Times mm-hmm. convention. It rotates where it is. I started going whenever I was in Kansas City. I think I've been 4 years now. And it's a fun time, and I've met a lot of readers and author friends that way. And
mm-hmm.
there's like themed parties, and I get to see
cover models.
You know, yeah, cover models. I get to dress up, and I see like one of my reader friends, and we're in a book club together now, a virtual one. She's from England, and she'll come over every so many years, and so.
Oh, awesome.
It's so fun. I love it. And, you know, I've gotten to be really good friends with my editors and the people at my publishing house too. And so we get to meet up and see each other in person, 'cause so much of what we do is online.
Well, that's true. Yeah. It's hard to, you know, you think about it. Authors don't have to live in New York anymore. They can,
right.
You can do so much through social media and email and everything else. So it's great. What do you think about, how do you feel about the marketing part of being an author?
It's, I think it's like a lot different. It's funny because it's different now than even when I first started. I think I signed my first contract in 2011, and just in 5 years, like, it's been so many, I mean, the way I market is almost different every single book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I actually taught a marketing seminar to the local writers group here, and they were like, wait, but that much stuff? And, like, they were kind of overwhelmed. I could tell I scared them. But I was like, well, in this day and age, you really do need to be out there doing marketing, meeting people. My favorite part of it is when I meet people online and we can just chat and kind of get going that way, which isn't so much marketing,
mm-hmm.
but just finding your people and your group that will,
right.
like, support you and that they're excited to see your book come out. So it's, you know, it's just part of the job. Some days it's exhausting. Some days it's fun, but I always have great teams of people who like watch what to do and what we need to do. And, you know, publicists who set things up. And like
yes,
I said, I've
do.
Just been felt really lucky. Yes. I've been really lucky to find just people, just amazing people that I work with.
Well, and one of the things that I've noticed too, and I bring it up all the time, Entangled is the publicists are just like on top of things. They do such a great job. They make me happy. They bring me authors. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Bring them.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean,
I adore them.
They do a good job.
Yeah.
And, you know, you still, what a lot of people don't realize is that, that if you want to write it, like if you have a book in your hand and you want to go publish it with this publishing house, you still have to market your book. There is no way about it. I don't care if you are with the big five or six or whatever they are now.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to push your book because nobody's going to do it for you. And if you don't, then
right.
you don't get a second book with them. So, so I love the, and I don't even consider Entangled a small press anymore because they've just got such a magnitude of authors that are amazing. But they seem to jump out there and really do more. They're like, they act excited about getting your book out into the world. And I love that because we are too,
yeah.
you know, the readers are waiting for it too. So the more excitement coming from them, the more excitement you get from the people who are going to actually buy your book. So that's always fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, like, I signed with them, they were brand new. You know, I was kind of like, oh, this company, they are so awesome, and their covers are beautiful. I don't, like, they don't have a very long history. I was one of the ones, and it's like one of the best decisions I've ever made, and we've done so many books together, and they've always been so good to me.
And they do make good covers. I agree with that.
They make great covers, yeah.
So you have this book coming out, the 12 Steps coming out on Monday, and you said you have two more in the hockey series. One, did you say December?
In November, yeah.
November, and then one in January, or sometime in early.
January or February, yeah. I think it might be February now, yeah. We're still playing with exact dates on that one, but in November, I know it's for sure, but I cannot remember which. I don't know whether they just changed it, whether it's the second or third Monday, and I don't remember. I need to find out. One of those Mondays in November, I have a book coming out.
I'll get it in my email because I get the blast on there, what's coming out every week. Then you have the young adult coming out as well.
Yeah.
So you've got at least the four coming out in the next 3 months or so.
Yeah, like one about every other month, every 2 to 3 months.
That's a pretty good, you got a lot of stamina to write that much, or have you been holding them back?
I don't know. I'm a crazy person. I just write them like that.
Well, don't feel bad, because I think all writers are crazy, and couldn't be any other way, so it's all good.
Sometimes I try to, like, okay, I'm going to take a few weeks off, and then, like, these other plot bunnies start going through my head, and then pretty soon I'm sitting down and writing stuff, and my husband's like, I thought you said you were going to take it off, and I was like, but I had an idea,
Storytellers never take time off, never, because you're always going to have something in your head like you had before you even started writing, so, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, so we are getting down to the last 10 minutes or so, and I want to make sure that everybody can find you. I know you have a Facebook page that's Cindy Madsen Books.
Yes.
And then your website's just Cindy Madsen. There is a link right here on this page, but in case somebody's listening through SoundCloud, it's www.cindymadsen.com. Cindy with an I, Madsen, MADSEN.com. Are you on Twitter or Instagram or any of those?
I'm at Cindy Madsen on Twitter, and I am on there more than I should be, probably. But yes, I love Twitter. I like talking on Twitter and hanging out there. And then I'm on Instagram at Cindy Madsen Books and Pinterest as well. If you want to see inspiration boards, like Chris Evans was kind of my inspiration for the 12 Steps, Mr. Right Guy, and there's one gif of him just raising his eyebrow over and over again. Look at it if you want. But yeah, I like having my Pinterest boards. They really help me with my writing too. You know, my playlist, my Pinterest boards. But yeah, some people have told me, oh, I really love when you love authors doing Pinterest boards and getting a feel for their books that way. So you could definitely find me there too.
Yeah, I create them for stories that I'm thinking about, just for inspiration, and go back and go, does that really look like what he's going to look like? No, let's take that one off and then you can search around for more.
Yeah, sometimes they morph. And then sometimes people, like the readers and bloggers, will make cool graphics of the book, and that's really fun. So I love that kind of stuff too.
Fan art is great too. And that's fun. One of the fun things about young adult books is because teens love to do fan art, and then they come up with some of the best stuff. It's just really, really cool.
Yeah. My husband teaches at a high school, and I have my urban fantasy Demons of the Sun. One of his students, they had to make a house model diorama kind of thing. And she made it of the character's house.
Oh my gosh.
There was like a dagger hidden in the plant. So she got a little nail and hit it in the plant. And my husband took pictures and sent it to me. It was amazing. I was just like, so cool.
That is so neat. Yeah. And it's kind of cool to think that something that you just, you know, letters that you put down on paper can inspire somebody to do something like that. That's just, it's
yeah,
like magic.
It is. It's cool. I love it.
Well, I'm so glad that I got to have you on the show finally. And I wish you much luck. I can't wait to read this book and see how she breaks her own rules, because that's what we do for love. So
yeah.
I'm real excited. And thanks so much for being on.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I had a blast.
And I hope I need to pick up the YA. I haven't read any good YA in a while. So
I just read an amazing one.
Okay, what do you suggest?
Well, I just read The Book of Ivy, which is funny enough, an entangled book I've had forever. I picked it up, the paperback, and then I like read it on Sunday, and then I had to buy the second one. It was a 2-book series. It's like dystopian, but it was amazing.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
I will put that one.
I
am picking over to put on my list now.
Yes.
Yeah, something new. I haven't read, I actually have. I started to read Cinder with my daughter because I told her she had to read something. She said, "Oh, yeah, you read it with me." So I'm like, I already read it. But anyway.
And my daughter's
going to
shatter me right now. Which is also amazing.
Yes.
Have you read that one?
Yeah.
So she's reading that one now.
Yeah, that was a really good one. That one was hard to put down because there was a lot going on. And I had to keep reading.
For sure.
So, I like this. Well, thanks again. And I appreciate it. And I hope you have a great fall. You're going to enjoy it a lot better than your winter.
I might be wishing for Texas weather when it gets too cold. But yes, until then, it'll be great. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Have a great one.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Bye. And thanks everybody for listening in. You can find me on Facebook at The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I'm on Twitter at @HOT_librarian_. This broadcast has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the website, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Authors on the Air Global Radio Network can be found online at www.authorsontheair.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and just about anywhere else you can think of in the social media world. Thanks again for Authors on the Air for letting me share my passion for romance and share the hottest authors in young adult, new adult, and adult romance with all of you. And you guys, I will see you next Thursday. I think I have 2 shows next Thursday. So I'll see you at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And again at 9 p.m. Eastern time for the second show, authors to be announced. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you then. Sweet dreams.